Hallelujah. Ready for the word? Oh, someone kind of says together, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, our minds agree in faith to receive the truth that is found in Christ. There is no error in his atmosphere. There is no contradiction. We have clarity in the knowledge of your Son. We receive wisdom in your wisdom, light in your light, understanding in your understanding. We behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He's glorified. We are edified. Amen. 1 Peter 2, we will be rounding up our series on Is This Spiritual Growth this morning. I believe it will be available this evening on our website. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, he says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now that's important to note. Of the word, that you may grow thereby, or grow in salvation. And so the word newborn is the word brephos, which means it's a figure of speech or a descriptive term for the new birth, right? Because in chapter 1, we had mentioned that, chapter 1, verse 3, we are born from his resurrection, that's what he says, unto a lively hope, right? Chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 1, verse 18 says, For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So salvation is called the new birth. And verse 23 says, We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. So in the first service, we looked at things about growth, how you know we're growing. We mentioned, we're closing, we mentioned how if you serve without growth, it's dangerous because the service will not be born out of love. And we mentioned that the difference between service and growth in service or service in growth is that service in growth is born out of love. And I said that the people you love, you pray for, you remember? The people you love, you serve. The people you love, you teach. The people you love, you endure with. The people you love, you give to. The people you love, you are not bitter. And I remember I finished off by talking about how you must be dead to the praises of men and their censure. See, when you were a young child, you would... Remember, we went for one disco competition. You know what disco competition is? Some of you know what I'm talking about, but a disco competition where young. No, sorry, it was a birthday party. So there was a disco competition, and I didn't even remember how I got the dance steps from, but I remember the song that I danced to. No parking, baby. No parking on the dance floor. I'm not going to do that for me. You don't know the song. Okay. So, I began to dance and dance and dance. So, suddenly I just started, Miss Gordon, they were hailing me. Hey, hey, hey. And of course, they now gave me the prize for the best dancer. So, they gave me the prize. They were now playing the music. So, I started dancing again. I danced because I liked the praise, but it kept looking at me that it's true, go. I just kept dancing. So the moment they just, of course, when it got to that point, my mom now became embarrassed. She just came and dragged me up the place and I felt hurt. How can me, a dance champion, be dragged away from glory like that? You know, that's how kids are. The moment the attention is taken away, you start feeling resentment. You like praises. And they say, you are such a blessing to me. I've never seen a man of God like you say, I don't say that. But in your heart, you are going, so you saw it. You know? I said, you have to be dead to the praises of men. That the reason why criticisms get to many of us is because we like praises. You have to be there to the praises of men and their censure. So praise of men is not why you do what you're doing. If Jesus was living on people's accolades, as we say in Nigeria, he wouldn't have died for our sins. Okay? Because even those that he led didn't want him to die. More than that, you know, the people he was to die for were his greatest critics at that moment. Yet, he did it in love. So, you must be dead to the praises of men as well as their censure. That is, whether they criticize you or they like you, it doesn't make any kind of difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this. I showed that in the first service. In verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified that he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So the man who is mature, he looks at the end. The one who is a young, as a baby, wants the immediate benefits, the immediate accolades. He said, can you imagine with all we did, first camp meeting, the only person Pastor recognized was Pastor Jakes. He was just calling, you know. Is that true, Jakes? He was just calling, he wasn't there. But that's the only person. So the next time he said, you're going to be in the committee for workers' pension. I'm not going to be available. Say why? Am I the only member of the churches? You know, you're offended because you were not recognized. It's a trait of a babe. Of a babe. You were not recognized. It doesn't get to you that you didn't get the reward. It doesn't get to you. Because you are a servant. When you start to grow up, you're a servant. So we said, whether it is praise or criticisms, in Acts 14, they were offering Paul and Silas sacrifice. Oh my, these are the gods. They've come down in likeness of men. He said, don't do this. In fact, he tore his clothes. He tore his clothes. And he screamed, we are men of like passions. So, he's not that he doesn't like criticisms, then he likes praises. No, he handles both the same way. Yong Gi Cho says, the praises of men are like chewing gum. Don't swallow it. People will, I remember as a younger minister, I mentioned this in the first service. People will come and literally call you Jesus. They say, my God, you are such a blessing. There was a brother like that who was giving a testimony after some minutes, we were in 95. And he was giving a testimony and they had to say, okay, and he was crying, bitter, seriously. You've been a blessing to me. You've done this, you've done that, you've done that, you've done that, you did this, you did that. He said, and in fact, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. And he said that, and he didn't come for the next meeting. You know, you should outgrow things like that. So that if it comes, it's fine. If it doesn't come, it makes no difference. Hallelujah. He makes no difference. Somebody mentioned something 2 days ago. It was a blessing the way he said it. He said, if you know how people quickly forget the dead, you will not live your life to please men. That's really true. That's the truth. Please the Lord. God is not forgetful of your labor of love. Hebrews 6 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That your labor in the Lord is not what? In vain. So you must put your mind on the right things. So one of the ways you know you are still a baby Christian is when you are expecting the praise of men. The praises of men. It shouldn't get to you. It shouldn't be something that you are looking forward to. Not at all. If it comes, don't say, I don't want it. Don't do it. No. But of course, Paul's case was, they're calling him God, which is different. But just put your eyes on the ball. The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Paul says, if I please men, then I am not a servant of Christ. If I please men. So, as you grow, watch the things that get your attention. Desire the sincere milk of the word, because in verse 1, 1 Peter 2 says you put away malice, evil speakers. We've looked at that. I also said this in the first service. When a spiritual, mature person is going through difficult situations, he looks at God's work in it. He doesn't murmur, he doesn't complain. He stays full of love and faith, so after the experience, he's stronger for it. He learns to put the word above his experiences. When you see spiritual beings will complain, they will murmur, imagine, last 1 year now, I've not had a contract signed for me. Imagine, I've been pursuing this, I've been pursuing that, and all that. I've prayed, I've used my word, I've done this one. What about the fact that in that period, you learn to be patient? In that period, you learn to abase. Paul says, I'm instructed in this situation to abase. What of learning to abase? What about, if you are complaining, what about God who became a man? And he went through hell before he got there. You know what I mean by that? He had no single complaint. No lessons learned. When I get people come at me in ministry, or people, maybe some leave the church and they say things that are very unprintable, unfortunate, I don't respond. But I take lessons from it. To some instances, it's for me to learn to walk in love. To some, it's learning how to pray for somebody who is anointed to hurt you. You know that? That is, you are now learning from Jesus. This person has been anointed to come at you. That's the grace upon his life. And then, you are made to pray for him. You now know what it means by curse not, only bless. You don't know it as a confession. They say, hallelujah, we don't curse, we don't bear. Wait. Wait until there's a real curse against you. We don't know, hallelujah, we don't curse, we only bless. Hold on. Let somebody come at you. Somebody told me years ago, I was with a younger minister there. He said, with all we have even done for you, you're not even moved. He said it to my face. He said, we shook you, didn't shake. He said it to my face. Ha! I said, the Lord is my strength or something. But as he went away, I said, human beings are serious. And I wanted to give up. I wanted to give up. How would you not be appreciated by the people you're serving? And I knew I was a baby Christian. You will learn and see God at work. James says, count it all joy. Hallelujah. When you have those tests and trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith works patience, praise God. So you mature in it. You're not complaining. Babies complain a lot. They just be crying. Don't know how you sound. when you sit down with your zonal pastor, and from beginning to the end, you are complaining. You know how some folks, how children do when you come back from work. Uncle so and so, he did this to me. Uncle so and so, he did this to me. He did this to me. He did this to me. Some Christians are just like that. Everybody in the zone has offended them. Everybody. They've offended themselves too. Say, I don't know what's going on in this fellowship, sir. So person. That's how on, that was it. That was a Monday. That was Bro A. On Tuesday, it was Sister B. On Wednesday, who was it? Oh, the pastor would answer, what about me? Your own was last week, sir. But I'll get to that. You are a baby! They're crying. Babies will cry and moan when they don't get what they want. Sometimes it's to manipulate. You manipulate. Say, you're not going to have that ice cream. I'm going to just give you water. And it's it begins to frown. Begins to frown. They say, why are you frowning? Nothing. That's manipulation, right? Which car? Say, nothing. What? Nothing. Nothing. Then you make a joke. He doesn't laugh. Will you go out with me? Let's go and... No, I'm okay. It's manipulation. It's by babies. You find Christians do it. How are you? Are you fine? After you rebuked him in your zonal meeting. Are you fine? I'm fine, sir. Why are you not smiling? My face is like that on Sundays. How many of you are going to give to what we have an outfit? Can you give? You don't raise your hand. And you know this person gives maybe a particular amount of money. Then you mention the amount, doesn't raise the hand. The lower one. Yeah. Well, are you not giving? And not now. Spiritual infants are such a delight to watch. And they will think that what he's doing is justified. Yes, I have a right. I'm also a child of God. Just murmuring. There was a brother like that. We used to call him Bishop in 93, 94. I used to call him answers by murmuring. I'll never forget that. You answer by murmuring. Some people murmur like a flow. Good morning. Because they are used to murmuring. I didn't know. The Bible says, do all things without murmuring. Just complaining. It's always, they said this, they said that, they said, babies. Babies. A spiritual infant always has a sense of entitlement. You should have done this for me. You should have done that for me. You should have done this for me. You should have done that for me. Hallelujah. Are you there? You ask yourself, am I growing? And you can see some people, they are elderly in age, but they are infants. You will see them spiritually within like this. Hope that's not a word of knowledge. What is it, sir? Spiritually, yes! Always looking for the easy way out. Comfort, self-indulgence. Someone's upcoming to a church, because the pastor said, sister, so and so, Why is it that the only times we see you very active is people's wedding, naming ceremony, and when they are burying someone? You are never active like this in evangelism. And the sisters stop coming to the church. Because babies don't like such truth. Is it not true? You will now see manifestation of the Spirit on different occasions. The same person that in prayer is going like this. Prayer group. From the beginning to the end. When people are rejoicing in the Spirit, just go, glory, glory. This is supposed to be a Galileo. Glory. Glory. Are you training for a game? Glory. But when they have that wedding, hey! And you think you are not a spiritual babe? You are. The energy you did not put in the prayer group. You say, I pray like that. That's how I learned to pray. But other things, you throw caution to the wind. A spiritual infant. Don't forget, attention seeking. You get hurt easily. Because of the love for praise, the moment you don't praise them, they are offended. They are really, really offended. Hallelujah. They are offended. I mentioned the love for positions. Love for positions. Babes. Now, remember we have four soils. Go to Matthew 13. Just want to run through some things. We're closing on this series today. Matthew 13. Hope you've learned something in this series. Alright, Matthew 13. Jesus gave seven parables in Matthew 13. It's the largest concentration of such kind of parables. In Matthew 13, the very first one, we'll just run through it quickly. I had four soils, alright? The first soil, it fell by the wayside. They never understood the gospel at all, so there was no salvation. The second soil fell on the hard ground. He never believed it, though he was excited, though he came to church, though he liked the miracles, signs and wonders, the moment the persecution and affliction came for the word's sake, he was offended. There was no root in him. He was never persuaded. The third soil is a brother who is born again, but he still has things he needs to renew his mind over. He still wants to be this, have this, do that, which is not wrong, but then he allows those things to crowd the word. So the issue with the third soil is lack of priority. He doesn't put the word first. You know, in his life, doesn't put the work of the ministry first, doesn't put serving the Lord first. He wants pleasure, wants things. He's a carnal person in conduct, so he's a baby Christian. The fourth soil is a fellow who receives the word with patience and brings forth fruit, you know, with patience. Well, let's leave that and let's go to the second parable that Jesus gives. We've seen it before from verse 24. He says, a man sowed good seed in the field, and while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds and went his way. I would say the word tares is the word zizanion. Z-I-Z-A-N-I-O-N. And I gave you the description that it looks exactly like wheat, but it's not wheat. So the moment a man believes a message that is not the gospel, all his activities are in vain. He can speak in tongues. He can do every other thing, but that's not salvation. Salvation is not speaking in tongues. Salvation is not getting healed. Salvation is not laying hands on the sick. Salvation is not given in the gospel. Salvation is to believe the message of God's Son. So the moment that's not the faith of this brother or this fellow, he is called a false brethren, or of the false brethren. 2 Corinthians 11:26. He is false. He will pray like you. He will act like you, but he doesn't believe like you. He will do things, and so he will think he is a believer, but he is not. And I told you that one of the things that differentiates the believer from the non-believer, the fake believer, are persecutions, hardship. The moment there's a persecution, and some people have said it before, that if there's persecution and love in Nigerian church, we'll separate the wheat from the chaff. Well, that might be true in many instances, but not all instances, because we can have believers who walk like the unsaved. Okay, and that can happen. But the reality is that persecutions usually distinguish believers from those who are not saved. When difficult times, all right, difficult situations, opposition always shows what the person really is. So this is the second parable. He talks about the false brother. He talks about it like it's always seen. We've seen this before. I'm just going through it. That it's at the end of age. The truth is that in verse 30, he says that it will grow together with other believers. That's the strange part of it. They'll grow together. They'll be in the same church. Okay. Of course, not sense community. Jesus did not mention sense community there. But they'll grow together. And so on and so forth. The third parable is in 31. We've seen that before, so just go through it. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest among the herbs. Watch this. And becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge. They lodge, they stay in there, in the branches thereof. So, the word to lodge is the word kataskeno. K-A-T-A-S-K-E-N-O-O. K-A-T-A-S-K-E-N-O-O. It's used for where to dwell, or where to stay. This means, it all shows that as a man, as the kingdom of God grows, the word of God grows, the fruit of it will be service. You're available for others. We've said that before. Spiritual growth is seen by service. You serve others. So they're available to be used, to become a place of refuge and rescue for others. And if you are not available for others, you cannot be growing. Anyone who is not serving others is a spiritual infant. The fourth one, the parable, he says in verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven is to ferment, it's the word zoomon, Z-O-M-O-O-N. That is influence. Spiritual growth is seen when the word of God now becomes influential. It influences your thoughts, it influences what you say, what you do, and so on and so forth. It's not just what is in your notes, but it influences what you do. The fifth parable, in verse 37, he sows, either sowing the seed is a, no, not 37, verse 40. I just give an illustration of that. So verse 38, the seed is the world, the seed is the children of the kingdom, that's verse 38. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So he gives another parable. And he mentions the different, explaining what we read earlier on. Then in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. That which when a man had found, he hides and for joy thereof goes and sells what he has. And buys that field. Then you see sacrifice. He sells what he has. Priority is seen. He sells what he has. His priority there. Don't forget, Jesus started in Matthew 13, verse 11, by saying, the seed is the word. So the kind of commitment you give to the word, what kind of commitment do you give to the word, what have you given up for the word, that will be a proof of growth. Then he mentions another one, okay, in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, he talks about sacrifice. He's talking about, putting one above the other when you place value. So, firstly, we talk about the false brethren. They receive the truth. Then we now, the third parable has to do with being available for other service, proof of growth, influence, okay? Then now we have, again, priority, what you put first above others. Then he mentions a great price, that's value, verse 46, value. What you value shows whether you are growing or not. Then the last one, he says, it is like unto a net that is cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, that when it is full, they draw to shore and sat down and gather the good unto vessels and cast the bad away. So shall the end of the world, the angels, go forth and whoever the wicked among them. So again, you'll see it's in company. Company. So we have company service, sacrifice, priority, value. And of course, those show whether the word of God is growing or not. So you need to see that, in your life. Don't forget that the parable of the sower was a chief parable here, and it says the sower soweth the word. So you must, of necessity, look at the value that you place on God's word? What kind of value do you place on God's word? On God's word. In your life. That's the value that you place on spiritual growth. So again, let's go through the four soils again. First soil, not salvation. Second soil, no salvation. It looks like he's saved, but he's not saved. The third soil, he's saved, but his desires overcrowd him. And so if he's going to grow, he will need to do what one of his parables do, sell, then buy. He will need to sacrifice. He will need to prioritize and put value on. If you value things more than God's word, you are not growing. There's nothing wrong in having things and wanting them, but you must put value on God's word above things. So growth is priority, value. Priority, value, sacrifice. Company. Priority, value, sacrifice, company. Priority, value, sacrifice, company. Priority, value, sacrifice, company. Then if priority, value, sacrifice, company, influence. Priority, value, sacrifice, company, influence. Priority, value, sacrifice, company, influence. So you can do a check this morning or this afternoon and say, well, what's my priority? What do I value? Where's my company? What influences me? What am I sacrificing for? Every one of us will live for something. There's something you are dedicating yourself. It could be yourself. You know, it could be yourself. And, you know, I was talking to someone a couple of days ago and said, the way to know the love, true love, he says, true love is look at the love of a mother. I said, it's not true. Love of a mother may not be true love. Love of a mother can be selfish. And that's the truth. It's wrong, it's your child, no doubt. But the love of God is not selfish. The love of God is not selfish. It's not about you. If God does anything for you, it's not because he will get something for it or so that the whole world will know that he is a good father. No. He does it for you. So that's where it differs. That's where it differs. And if you are here and there's God here, he will pick you first. God puts us first. That's why he became a man. He put you and I ahead of himself. That's God's love. And that's demonstrated in spiritual growth. Are you in church? So, we said that one of the ways to know whether you are growing is consistency. Call it again. Consistency. Now, do something in your notes. How many of you are taking notes? Are you joking? Let me see how many of you are taking notes. You should be taking notes. If you have a book like this, where you're taking notes, dedicate an entire page and write consistency. And I'm doing that purposely because I really want you to take note of it. Thank you. Write consistency. Growth is not something you do once. Just like you don't eat one delicious meal and then that's all to it. No, it's what you eat daily. Oftentimes, you can eat stuff and then it will affect your system and then you'll be treated and stuff like that, or better still get healed. But usually when you go for checks, they'll ask you what you eat often and how you eat. What you eat often and how you eat. I mean, I got healed, for example, years ago of ulcer. And I was treated, and I checked myself and I was healed. But years later, I now went, had a total system breakdown. And then I went to the doctors, and then they did a check. And then without asking me questions, the doctor said, you have a very irregular eating habit. I said, I didn't say anything. He said, well, from what we saw, it's obvious that you eat very late in the day, and then it's not consistent. It says the body is such created that there must be consistency in what you give to it. That kind of felt strange because it was true. She wasn't a prophetess. If anything, I thought the scan was. So I learned something from that. You need to be consistent. Thank God for those vigils you have. And you go, that vigil you had, and you say, wow! I feel like I should not just go out today at all. The cloud of poo is all over my room. You have to go out. Please. Because that's how you are going to practice the cloud of glory that was in your room. So, what do you do daily? Daily. Consistency is the fruit of growth. Or the way to grow. Romans 12:12. Continue instant in prayer. Prayer is not supposed to be every Thursday. That's your prayer group, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Growth. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Someone say always. Always. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. Do you know, he doesn't tell us what to pray for. The moment, do you know, nobody will ask you, why are you eating? Is there a problem? You look at the person and say, you are a problem. Because it's assumed that human beings should eat every day. We will call it 3 square meals. Though square has more than 3 sides. But we call it 3 square meals. Morning, afternoon, evening. And nobody will say, you eat too much because you ate twice. Somebody is happy I said that. But maybe the reason why they said that is because what you eat once is super ballon. Super ballon. Nobody's going to say, why do you eat so much? Because you eat twice a day. So you pray 3 times a day is not too much. Because if you see prayer as that consistency that you need to apply in growth, that is required. Pray always. There must be no, the reason to pray is prayer itself. The reason to pray is prayer itself. So consistency is key. How often do you pray? If all your prayer life is your prayer group, you have not started praying. You are not growing. 1 Timothy 4:15. So consistency is key. 1 Timothy 4:15, watch this. It says, meditate on these things. Now that word is in the present tense, continuous. It's not something you're supposed to do once. It's like saying, keep meditating on these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Turn there quickly. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. The word meditate is the word melitao. M-E-L-E-T-A-O. Melitao. Which you're going to find in Acts 4:25. To imagine things. To devise things. That word melitao is from the word melo. M-E-L-O. I want you to listen carefully to this. This is very vital. Which is where you have cares. Casting all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Melo. 1 Corinthians 9:9. Care for the oxen. 1 Corinthians 9:9. 1 Corinthians 7:21. So, here is Paul saying to a minister, I told you in the first service, you can be in the ministry and be a baby Christian. He says to him, meditate on these things. Care about them. It means some versions say ponder. Ponder over them all the time. Your dominant thoughts is really who you are spiritually. Your dominant thoughts. If all on your mind are problems, that's the kind of Christian that you are. Your dominant thoughts. Your dominant thoughts cannot be your husband, your wife, your kids. No. Your dominant thoughts has to be God's word. Now, God's word can apply to your wife, your kids, your husband, your job. No doubt. But God's word is dominant in your mind. So he says, meditate on these things. Just like Paul would say in Ephesians 3, 3 and 4. So that when you read, you have my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read. Hear this well. A characteristic of babes in Christ is they read the Bible as a problem-solving manual. So, they embark on problem-solving study. So the moment you are saying the book of Isaiah, they are saying, when you get to Isaiah 54, let me know. Isaiah, you know what Isaiah 54? Single barren. Why? Because their business isn't working, and so they think they are barren. I want to see what the pastor will explain in Isaiah 54 verse 1. Sing, O barren. When you get to the book of Psalms, and you are talking about Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Oh, this is my son. This day have I begotten thee. The guy is sleeping. O Lord, our God, our excellent. Yeah. In all the earth. What is man you are mindful of? Oh, what is man? Say, what is Shego that you are mindful of? You know, that kind of person really, God is mindful of me. When I wake up in the morning, he's just looking at me. What's wrong? You know, that's a problem-solving Bible study. Can you give me four verses? Four verses. Four, I want to pray now. I want to bombard the gates of hell. Can you give me four verses to connect with my inheritance? That's problem-solving Bible study. And every time you approach the Bible because you have a problem, you can never know what it is saying. You can. Because it has its own message. So that those who had no problems read it and they believed it. So you're a babe. Meditate on these things. Care about them. Give your heart to them. Ponder over them. Look at verse 14. 15, sorry. 1 Timothy 4, 15. Give yourself wholly to them. The word give yourself is a constant word. In the Greek is the word emi. Exist in them. E-M-I. Exist in them. Exists within them. Why did he say that? Because your thoughts are your life. That's how you live. Proverbs 4:23, from 20, Solomon says, my son, attend to my words, decline your ears to my sayings, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from your eyes, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. You guard your heart. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Exist in them. Holy unto them. That your profiting. Need also be particular here. That your profiting. Which is the word prokope in the Greek. P-R-O-K-O-P-E. Don't forget, he's not talking to a new convert, he's talking to a preacher. In other words, he's talking to a pastor of pastors that he has to grow. He has to grow. Ministry, and you see, and I'm saying this to many of us who are in ministry, all of us should be, those of us who are in leadership, for example, there is a tendency to have a sense of fulfillment. I've told you, we must never have sense of accomplishment. Can you remember I said that to you? Uh-huh. There's a tendency to think that all you need to do is to just preach. No. He says, meditate on the word. He's talking to a preacher. Meditate on the word of God. Exist in them. that your profiting, look at the word profiting, Philippians 1, 12 and 25. Paul used it as furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1, 12. Furtherance. That means you are going ahead. Philippians 1, 12. May appear. I need also to be very particular here. That your profiting may appear. Or sorry, may appear. We'll see that in a moment. Your profiting there is to make progress. Philippians. Rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He used it again in verse 25. Your furtherance and joy of faith. Furtherance. Is used for a journey that you are moving on. Now, this word also is used where there are obstacles. And then you go over them. You go over them. So he's saying, as you meditate, okay, you will make progress. This is a preacher. May appear to all. Now, when he says appear to all, I have a problem with the way the King James puts it, because the prophet in appearing to all here should be in all. In all of what? 1 Timothy 4:15. In all the instructions I just gave you. That you will make progress in these instructions. So you can only make progress in the word by consistent meditation. But what does it mean that it will appear to all? No, he had handled that in verse 12. Be an example to both of the believers in charity, faith, purity. He mentioned that in conversation. For you to keep growing, he says you have to meditate. So don't start with acting. Let me do. Start with your mind. What dominates your mind. And he's in the present continuous. He gives him instructions, for example. He says in 11, till I come, he give attendance to 13, to exhortation, to doctrine, reading of the word. In 12, be an example. In 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. In 16, he says, take it to yourself and to your doctrine. But the key issue there is in 15. Meditate. You must meditate. What you read the most becomes your meditation. If you read the news the most, that will be your meditation. If you read fashion magazines, health magazines, nothing wrong in that, but what dominates your mind the most? This is your meditation. So this must be routine. Something often. Routine. Hallelujah. Effectiveness, therefore, as believers, is in what we do always. What we do all the time. So he's talking to a preacher here. And you know, like I said earlier, you can have that sense of accomplishment as a preacher because you are now preaching. And you are very, very busy. You're very busy. There was a time I was, just like some of us are doing today, I used to teach and preach around the body of Christ 51 weeks in the year. Different churches. 51 weeks in the year. But I asked a question. I asked someone a question before I took those invitations. I asked him a question. I said, I know you preach a lot around. How do you maintain fervency? Because you can be active and not effective. So how do you maintain it? He said, keep a devoted life to the word and prayer. Such that, pay attention, you are not studying the word for your sermon. You are studying the word like you eat food. I'll never forget that truth. He said, so keep a devoted life. Because you can feel, oh, I'm preaching. And then, of course, preaching has a sense of security that you have, that you are growing, but it doesn't mean you are. What do you do daily? I've told you this before. I said it in the morning. Reserved knowledge is not spiritual growth. It's consistent truth that you are learning from. It's not, oh, I have it somewhere. Nope. You must keep growing. So Paul is talking to his own son in the faith, Timothy, whom he says he is his most faithful ally. But he says, you've got to meditate. You've got to meditate. You've got to meditate. You've got to do it regularly. What it means is that you must create a routine for growth. What time do you pray? When I pray as occasion arises, you will never grow. What time do you pray? How do you obey always? Have a time for always. Simple things. How do you study? How do you study and meditate? I will say meditation is actually study. You research where you open the Bible and get all the verses together and get the context, the protext, and whatever text you have. You listen to the word. But the very act of thinking over what you are listening to is the study itself. That is the meditation. Where you are now thinking on what you are listening to or what you are reading. A man called meditation to view things from different angles. You look around the axis. It's carefully done. Somebody calls it the way a mother hen broods over her eggs till it becomes chicks. You stay on it. So, righteousness through faith is now clear to your heart. Prayer. Laying hands on the sick. Walking in integrity and honor. You now understand it. It's not just something you mouth. Your heart hears it often. It's always said that repetition is the key to conviction. Something you hear all the time, all the time, all the time. Watch this now. Write this down. Right. One of the ways you'll also note whether there's a problem, you could just do this, this is just a check, is when you hear the same truth of God's word and it doesn't have an effect of conviction on you anymore. It's not growth. It's actually a sense of inconsistency somewhere. The same truth of God's word. Remember how you hear about prayer and you went to pray. Evangelism, you went to evangelize. How you heard about forgiveness of sins and then it was a joy to your heart. And then you heard about forgiving others and it was something you wanted to do. Living a life of honor, being a believer that is exemplary. You heard those things and the next thing you wanted to act on them. Now you hear them now and just feel, fast forward it. It's a sign that you have stopped growing. You miss church. You felt, oh God, I came late. I wasn't there. You almost ask those who were there, what was taught before I got in? But now you come, you don't even have to know what's being preached. You don't feel that way again. You are not growing because it's affected what you are thinking. You are not caring anymore about those things. You don't feel that way anymore. You just feel, well, the next is, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How does that apply to what you have just done? That is a life of lie. A lie, sorry. So you must ask yourself, is this spiritual growth? So in tying up a few things we have said, routine is important. What you do daily, whether you are home or abroad. What you do daily. Oh, I'm on a holiday. This is a holiday period. I've told you there is no holiday for spiritual growth. You only took holiday from work in your office. or from daily schedules of Lagos. Lagos requires holiday, I believe. But it's not a holiday from the Word or from prayer. That's a holiday. It's not a holiday. You must keep yourself in the Word consistently and in prayer. Consistently. Create a routine. What time is available? Do someone say, I don't have a time at all? It was only dead men that would say that. I don't have any time at all. It's not true. I've seen people that claim they don't have time, and then somehow they have time to watch illicit movies. During the thing, well, they are just cooling off, so they just watch something on their phone. Well, the reason why it's like that is because your heart was not on the Word. If your heart was on the Word, that moment you had, that break you had, you will have played the Word on your phone. So there's nobody who cannot create time. To grow spiritually, you have to create time. Someone say, create time. Say loud, say, create time. You have to create time. 1 hour. Create that time. And I'm not saying create a time. Some people create time when they have problems. And they tell them, we're going to be praying together 12 o'clock at midnight. Anything that is flying in the atmosphere is not your destiny. We'll bring it down. They'll wake up. There was someone like that. That, you know, was in our fellowship years ago. I just told her, I said, the Lord is saying, now don't try this. You will fast 40 days. Okay. Did you see something, sir? Yes. And she had seen me minister by the revelation gift, so she felt out what I was saying. Yes. And you read your Bible every day and you pray. How do you, sir? Fasting. You know, fasting makes people feel heavenly. So, after the 40 days, she said, because she was someone's elder brother, elder sister, she just said to the person that, well, in these 40 days, I'm really, my life has changed, though. My life has changed. Because she felt we were trying to avert a problem. So after the 4 days, she says, I'm done now. I said, problem solved. Whatever came against you is gone. She never asked me what till now. And why did I say she should do that? Inconsistency was what came against her. Is that not devilish enough? That is already a generational curse. In itself, it's an attack. Some of us need such things. I'm looking for somebody to give 90 days fast. I know it wasn't a problem for me because I told her to start fasting because I was also fasting. That was a year I must have fasted about 260 days a year. I did 120 days stretch. So I said, the Lord is saying, fast. And people take things like that seriously. You say, And you're an African. The Lord has a plan for you. No matter what the devil is saying. But brother, you have to engage in prayers. Prayers. Yeah, no problem, sir. Okay. So, every day. Can you do it? I'm the man of God. Say, 3 hours every day. Can you do it? You can't stop and stop. I won't stop, sir. You wake up at 11. I won't even sleep at all. Do you need such things? Hallelujah. Create routine for yourself to pray and to study. Are you there? So you ask yourself, is this spiritual growth? If your prayer is only when you come to church, you don't have a prayer life at all. Another thing you need to look at in your life is, what kind of company do you enjoy? What kind of company do you enjoy? Company is part of growth. Company makes me grow, so what company I keep shows whether I'm growing or not. And Paul is very strong on company. Solomon in Proverbs 13:20 says, the wise walks with the wise, but a companion of fools, Solomon says, they perish together. Now, some scholars have said that why was Jonathan destroyed? Jonathan was destroyed, not for any other reason. Some scholars have said that, and I have no reason to doubt them, that while he knew that David was the king, right, he knew that. It was obvious to him. In fact, he said with his mouth, after my father, it will come you then myself. He knew his father was backsliding. He knew it. He knew his father wasn't serving the Lord. He saw his father worship idols. Yet Jonathan will leave the temple or the palace. He will go meet David in the cave. Find company. Or you always return to the palace. And so whatever happened to Saul, happened to him. Now, that's a bit plausible, looks similar, because the truth is, he definitely had a good heart, was David's good friend. He believed in God's plan for David's life. He believed David should be king. But he didn't change his influence. He didn't change his company. He was always with his father. And, you know, his father went to fight the war, interestingly, and died. That looks like it. But Paul, using similar narratives, will tell us, Romans 16:17. He says, mark them who cause divisions. He says, mark them who cause divisions. And he says, who teach things that are contrary to the doctrine that we have taught you, Romans 16:17. Or places contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. He says, so I bind them. If this isn't going to be injurious to you, Paul wouldn't say avoid. Jesus similarly in Matthew 16 would say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. There are things to beware of. Don't hang around a cold Christian. Don't hang around a loose Christian. We'll get to that in a moment. So he says, you avoid them. If you're going to pray for such people, pray from afar. Write this down. Man is a product of influence. I told you that in the first service. There's nothing you are doing now, including how you are writing. You were influenced. Man is a product of influence. We all resonate eventually or reproduce things that we see so often and many times unconsciously. I told you in 1 Corinthians 14 how Paul says that if the unbeliever should come in amongst you, then the secret of his heart are made manifest. He will fall down on his face. How did he know we fall down on our faces? He must have seen others do it. So we are all products of influence. We all are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he mentions that brother who was having his father's wife, that he was in a sexual relationship that was not biblical. And everybody saw it, they knew it, and nobody said anything about it. And he didn't give a hoot. And he did it without shame. And Paul is saying, that leaven will leaven the whole lump. So he says, don't eat with him. Not because he's sinned, it's because he doesn't care. Don't eat with him. Don't even company with him at all. Because a little leaven does what? Leaveneth the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6 and 7. 6, 7 and 8. That's why he will say, rebuke people who sin openly before all so that everybody will learn. Why? Because whatever he's done before all of us, we are capable of reproducing it. That's why people will complain about their fathers, hear me well, or their parents, how they weren't treated well, and sometimes maybe the marriages of their parents and all that. After all the complaints, they will reproduce exactly what they saw. Have you seen that before? Many times. You know why? Because that was all they saw. Just the same things they complained about. They didn't never lie. You know why? Because that's all they saw. I've seen people leave churches that are materialistic. They were preaching the word and all that. And they say, oh, I just saw the word. Thank God. And I warn them, don't start a church yet. You will do exactly what you saw. Stay up. Start in anything. Go to a place. Be there. Learn. Renew your mind. Get your mind. You may even discover you don't have to start a church at all. Get your mind renewed. You need to first of all deal with what you have seen as a model. That's important. So he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You first must deal with that. Company is key. Very key. That's why most people who are critical, go watch them. They are just critical. When they get into leadership, pay attention, they become dictatorial. Oftentimes, they do exactly what they criticize. Because knowing what is wrong doesn't mean you know what is right. So you must feed your mind well. My elder friend, elder brother, Pastor Tosh will always say this. Many times, young ministers need to detox. Detox means remove all the impurities in your mind. So influence is key. It's very important. Sometimes you are grateful that God didn't allow you get married at some time. So that you are reformed, reshaped before you got married. Sometimes you are grateful you didn't get some opportunities early. They will have drowned you. Now you are more mature, you handle money, material things more maturely, you are more spiritual in how you see position, and you are doing fine now. Because you won't be too sure that you are proud because you have nothing to be proud of yet. You can't claim to be humble when it is life that humbled you. Anybody can say yes sir to people when he has nothing. Nothing. They say he dies down for fears no fall. You can be humble when life has humbled you. And you think you are humble, yet somehow in your heart you are proud. It's until you get the reason to be humble. They always say everybody is honest until you are given a clean chance to steal. Everybody's honest until you are given a chance. Nobody's going to see you. Then you know whether you are honest or not. Sometimes we just need to deal with that. If you found out, for example, that you always like the company of wealthy people, influential people, you are not wealthy yet, it shows that you have a problem with company. That's it. Jesus wasn't like that. Now, doesn't mean that you hate those who are wealthy. Jesus was everybody. He was with the wealthy. He was with the sinners, quote. He was with the societally acceptable. He was with the Pharisees. He was with everybody. He wasn't anti-rich men. But he wasn't discriminating against the poor. And that is important. So, what kind of company do you enjoy? Paul in Philippians 3, 18, 19 talks about those whose God is their belly. He says, beware of them. They are preachers today. I don't listen to them again. They've been a blessing to me. I'm grateful, so grateful. But I discovered things they were preaching. And Paul says we must avoid. It's painful for me. I don't even watch anything they do. Because naturally you like them. But Paul says avoid people. Two things he warns against. See, he's not even that way with those who have immorality problems, though he talks strongly against them as well. He talks about those who preach legalism. He calls them dogs. Philippians 3, 1, 2. Beware of dogs. Those who preach legalism. Eventually, those who preach legalism, he mentions them in verse 18 and 19, as those who preach gain as godliness. So whose God is their belly? He wants. But those two things, same with Peter, same with James, same with John, same thing. So you watch the company that you keep. Your company is your doctrine. Your company is your doctrine. That's really what you believe. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, because that means it's likely you think you can get away with it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupt what? Good manners. That's not for when you are leaving for secondary school boarding house. How many of you had your parents read that for you? Even they didn't know where it was quoted. What he's saying here is doctrinally. He was talking about those who preach that Christ, he's not raised, or there's no resurrection from the dead. That's past. No, there's no resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. So he's saying, stay away. Evil communication, he says, corrupt good manners. So he's not saying that people that, because you don't agree on things like that, in some things in the Bible, you should leave, see them from my friend and say, bye-bye. No. He was specific. Those who believe differently from the core doctrine of the faith. You can't make a Muslim your close friend. A Muslim does not believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And he doesn't do it passively, he does it actively. 5 times a day. Amen. They can be in your office, no doubt, you can walk together, business, but that's where he stops. Some of my best study partners in school, I think even in law school, were Muslims, and that wasn't a problem. As long as it was just about passing the exam. If the devil teaches me, I will hear it. As long as it is an exam. My father told me that as I entered from one. So if the devil gives you knowledge, take it, but don't be devilish. I can't forget that. And that's true. So you must watch your company. Many of us don't know how to comport ourselves in our offices. We forget that we mustn't allow our offices and people around to form our opinion. The Word of God must. Ensure that in the office, you are not discussing marital values. Marital values of a Christian is different from a Muslim. Also, of a Christian who puts the Word first for Muslim. Your philosophy must be the Word of God. Money, fame, glamour. Seek to God's Word. Look at your company. The moment you start enjoying the company of those who don't value the Word of God, you soon will start doing the same. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship is darkness with light? Rhetorical question. Watch your company. Watch the people you listen to the most. Local church is vital for you. Hebrews 10:24-25. Provoking ourselves together to good works. Do not forsake the assembly together one another. The manner of some is Hebrews 10:24-25. You must watch your company. Who are the people you surround yourself with? Then you can be called all sorts of names, antisocial. Some guys can say you are antisocial. Why are they calling you antisocial? Because you don't go out on Friday nights to drink. Why are you antisocial? Because you go for weddings when you're available. You go for people's birthdays. But you're antisocial. Let's go hang out. Hang out. Oh, you can watch the lines hang out every day, 5 o'clock. Go hang out there. You don't say that. Hang out where? Hang out where? No. Jesus wasn't hanging out except he was preaching most of the time. Nobody attended the wedding in the Cana of Galilee. Just once. Not everywhere he went, he was going for weddings. No. Priority. Watch the kind of company. Because man is a product of influence. So, who are the people I surround myself with the most? That will tell me whether I am growing or not. I will tell you, a good friend, let us what? Know the Lord. That's how you know it. Let's know the Lord. I get to the house of my friend, his Bible is open, he's playing a teaching, he's maybe calling up a disciple, or is even praying, that will have an effect on me. Brother Tokes, I didn't even remember, when I was going to look for him in the University of Ibadan, then, they told me, they said, you want to see him? I said, yeah, I want to see him. They said, stay in front of Tether Hall. I think it's 1 a.m. He will cross praying in tongues. I said, every day? He said, every day. So I thought, let me find out. How would somebody be so predictable? So, if you know you are very well, I stood in that Melambi Hall. Who attended you are here? The Melambi Hall. I stood there and said, 1 a.m. And I was too amazed at the consistency to even call him. He was so predictable. And that had an influence on my life. Today, when I'm with the same person and we travel anywhere, even if he comes to my house, at that time he wants to pray. I know the time. You see? He goes home. I've noticed that at least 23 years, 24 years, he still does the same thing. Routine. That on his own has an influence on me. I hope you know that. Because I saw someone do it. Now, if I surrounded myself as a Christian who just says, I prayed, or he wants to pray. The only time he prays, we're going out together in his house, then he says, before we go, let us pray on his car. Heavenly Father, King of Glory, Lord of Lord. Lord of Lord. Father God, King of Great Lord of Lord, as we set for today, bless our Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come. If you don't get money, have your heart. Hide your face. Hide your face. Do you know, no matter how spiritually effective, if you see that every day, you will reproduce it. Think I don't know those songs? Oh. Anyway, if you see that often, you will do it. You first say, why are you not? You just be saying, you be forming your spirit initially. Why are you not listening to the word now? And listen to the word, okay? The second day, you heard it. Hey, not listen to the word now. Try. Fourth day. By the fifth day, you say, I play that song now. So I give myself to godly influences. If you get to your office, you influence them, not the other way around. That is the kingdom of God. Not that, I don't want to be sounding spiritual. I don't want everybody to think I'm a Christian. They must think it, they must know it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Not the one that you not be praying when they ask you to do, they ask you to go and do something in the office. You have to say, I'm doing devotion. It is a great thing. So you better serve your boss, not Jesus here. Are you still there? So, look at your company. A man's choice of local church is actually his spiritual development. A man's choice of local church. Do you know that, now years ago, Ovaladele was here a few days ago, a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And the kind of influence that he brought on us then, as young boys, he would take us far. And we would go and pray and pray. I can't even remember the prayer point because what was I praying about? There was no problem in my life. We just pray and pray. 3 days. You know what? Do you know that every church I only join their prayer department. That's the one that is common to all churches I've ever attended. I say, where is the prayer department? That was it. You know why it was like that? That was the example I saw. So, those churches come from your level or people's level of spiritual development. That was what you saw. I've seen people tell me, Pastor, I left Nigeria, went somewhere, there's no church where I am, but I'm just uncomfortable. How can I go? Somebody will say, I was just in the service, I can't even remember how they started the sermon. And you know the guy started preaching, you know? He just said something, and the sermon was over. And people were jumping and clapping. The reason is that the influence you came out of did not permit that. But if you stay long there, you start understanding what thou readest. That, well, I get the point. You will start to reason that, you know, this is London. It's cold. You can't do series in winter. You have to understand. I understand. This venue is expensive. They can't do more than 1 hour. You are reasoning. Very soon, check your own prayer life. There will also be winter in your room. You started reasoning. So, check your company. Don't be ashamed of being called spiri-spiri. When I was in university, they said, spiri-spiri. I said, kana-kana. I'll give you back. I'm not ashamed of who I am. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to pray every day. I'm not ashamed to excuse myself from folks and say, I need to go and study God's word. If I'm not ashamed to say, I want to go and eat, I should not be ashamed to say, I want to go and pray. You must know the kind of company that you keep. So company says a lot, and I'll close here. It eventually shows whether you are growing or not. I have never kept friends in 26 years who have not inspired me to fulfill God's will for my life. I've not. 26 years this year. Never. I've always had people that I see them do what the Lord wants them to do. We pick the phone and we're talking. Obviously, and sadly, just a few remain today when we talk. I just spoke to one yesterday. I knew this one when he was a Muslim, when he got born again. He's doing well for the Lord. He teaches the Bible school now. He actually heads the Bible school. And I said to him, just like we said years ago, he said yes. You know, we said years ago, we're going to teach ministers. I said, yeah, just like we said. Yeah, praise God. We don't have to talk every day. But when we talk, we rub minds. Iron sharpens iron. We just inspire one another. Say, well, their ministry now, they're raising some folks in the north. They have an awesome campus. And they're teaching so many people how they subsidize. I said, beautiful. When I hear that, it reminds me of also staying in God's plan for my life. It's not for me to come to church. We are starting our car tomorrow. No. That's not what it means. What it means is that this person is doing what God wants him to do. Well, when I see people like Pastor Tokes, I said, just like you said years ago. I remember, what year was it? 95. He said, God asked me to go to India. And I said, yeah, there is no Rema Bible training center in India. There was none. And there was just a few years after he said it. And he went to India. And we say, tell ourselves, just like you said years ago. Just like you said you're going to do. When I see friends, I say, well, just like you said years ago, you train people for ministry, just like you said. Yes, just like I said. And things like that keep you in the will of God. Men that can remind you, remember what you said. Just like you said. Just like you said, who will be taught in the nations of the world. Just like you said. We said those things on that tree. We said those things when we were printing flyers. Flyers will be, they will type it. You know, when they type flyer for you know what it means. We type flyer. Put word resource. Word resource, mama. Word resource. W-O-R-D. But we were proud of it. Hallelujah. I'll show some of you. I think maybe a few days. I'll bring some of those flyers for you in service. You will laugh. Just like this. Spoke to a friend in America two colors in, and we're talking about what he's doing in the US and North America. He said, just like we said. Just like you said. You need people around you that will say, stay with what God told you. Stay with what God told you. This was what you told me, God told you. Stay with me. But if you have friends that never tell you what God wants them to do, you also will never take serious what God wants you to do. You hang around friends, all they discuss is the latest shoes, where they travel to, where they just came back from, who they met. Very soon, that will be your utmost pursuit. Beware of evil communication. They corrupt good manners. I'll close with this illustration a friend of mine said years ago. He was teaching on spiritual growth, 1995. He's a fellow who composed a song together and we worship with the Father, Pastor Larry Amuso. He's passed on to the Lord now. He said, even if you are Kenneth Hagin, that was the story, that was how he illustrated it. He said, if you stay up the word, if you stay up prayer, 5 months, 6 months, he said, you will reproduce exactly what you have been doing in that period. You cannot, he said, even if you had taught the word for 5 years, and for 5 months, 6 months, you stayed up the word, you stayed up prayer, he said, those 5 years will count for nothing. Because spiritual growth is consistency. 1995, he said that in the meeting, Rivers of Joy, in Ikorodu Lagos, 23 years ago. Consistency. Do you have friends around you who remind you, why have you not attended your prayer meeting today? Your friends should know you pray on Thursdays. Your friends should know you go on evangelism on Fridays. Your friends should know that you're supposed to be in church now. Your friends should know that you go for crusades. Your friends should know that you give for the gospel. Anyone who doesn't know those things shouldn't be your friend. Anyone who doesn't know those things you call the most precious to you should not be your friend. Hallelujah. I relate with Dr. Abel Damina. If we talk today and we're discussing, we're sharing, we're talking about the gospel. We have other things we talk about as well, but it's the gospel. What are we going to do? So a couple of days ago, we said, let's pray about the particular region of the world. So whatever God tells you, let me know. He says, a senior friend he is. I see him as a leader in the gospel. But that's an influence. I remember as friends then, myself and my apostles friends, when I leave them, because they were students of you right then, when I leave them, and I leave the company, I want to go and study the world. I want to go and pray. I want to go and preach. And someone knows this, her name is Kate. She said, Pastor, every time you leave the company of your friends and you come back to fellowship, there's something unique about your preaching. That is influence. Stay with the right people. If you want to live a godly life, stay around godly people. If you want to be fervent, stay around fervent people. You're blessed. Are you blessed? You sure? Stand to our feet. Let's bless the Lord. Give him praise.